Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are analyzing a ticking clock scenario, a technology deadline that is not optional at all. It's actually critical for business continuity.
It really is.
We're focusing on a system migration that, if you ignore it, basically guarantees a communications outage.
That's right. And this deep dive today is, you know, it's really for IT professionals, for business leaders, anyone who relies on 3CX for their communications. We're going to be dissecting the forced migration from the legacy Electron-based 3CX desktop app
to the new 3CX Windows soft phone.
Exactly.
And the clock isn't just ticking. I mean, it's about to hit zero. We have to highlight this hard cutoff date, mid to end January 2026. And this isn't a suggestion.
No, not at all. It's a mandate. And when that deadline hits, the old application faces a complete irreversible block.
Complete block.
Yeah, it's the severity of that outcome that makes this so urgent. We aren't talking about, you know, reduced functionality or a few bugs. We're talking about the app just failing to connect. It will stop working entirely.
So our mission today is to give you the context, the technical why behind this decision, and maybe more importantly, the strategic step-by-step roadmap you need to execute this transition smoothly.
To preserve your customer service, your operations, everything.
Okay, so let's unpack this. It feels like a pretty high-stakes decision. Why is 3CX taking such a definitive approach? Usually you see a long grace period, a slow phase out. Why the hard stop connecting ultimatum for this Electron app?
It really boils down to two things. A fundamental lack of security and just a structural incompatibility with modern infrastructure.
Okay.
Think of the legacy Electron app as a temporary building on old, shaky foundations. The Electron framework is basically a wrapper. It packages web tech like Chromium and Node.js to make an app that runs on your desktop.
So it's basically a website pretending to be an installed piece of software.
That's a perfect way to put it. Yes. And that right there introduces what we call a critical security debt.
Security debt.
Yeah, because the Electron app relies on those components, right? Oh. Chromium, Node, every time a new vulnerability is found in those, which happens all the time.
Oh, constantly.
Constantly. The 3CX app inherits that vulnerability, and then the developers have to backport fixes, issue a new release. Over time, it's impossible to maintain, especially for older architecture.
Okay, that's the nugget of knowledge we needed.
Right.
It's not just about older protocols. It's that it relies on these other components that are constantly creating new vulnerabilities, new CVEs.
Exactly.
Which are then a huge pain to patch in a product they're trying to sunset anyway.
Precisely. I mean, when you're running an Electron app that hasn't seen an update in years, you're essentially running an old web browser that has known security gaps. For any company handling sensitive data, it's an unacceptable liability. So that's driver number one.
And if security risk wasn't enough.
Yeah.
What about the incompatibility? Are we seeing things just breaking?
Absolutely. And that ties right into the second problem, which is the big architectural shift to 3CX V20 systems.
Right.
With V20, 3CX moved to a Linux-based architecture, Debian 12. And that changed everything. How clients connect, how they handle tunneling, authentication.
Okay.
The old Electron app uses these connection methods, especially its tunneling, that are just fundamentally incompatible with that new structure.
So if an IT admin has already moved their server to V20. They've got this brand new modern server trying to talk to an obsolete client, and they're using, an outdated dialect?
That is a perfect analogy, yes. And that mismatch, it creates instability, dropped calls, extensions that fail to register, general chaos in your communications.
Right.
So while the block affects everyone because of the security problems, the operational instability is really, really bad for V20 users. Mm. The hard lock just ensures everyone is on a secure, compatible client before the old app becomes a critical point of failure for the whole system.
So let's be crystal clear here. If a small business owner just ignores this, they put their head in the sand, what's the first call they're going to lose on, say, January 27th, 2026?
Every single one of them.
Every call.
Every single call. The application will fail to initialize. It won't register the extension. You won't be able to dial out. You won't get inbound calls. You can't check voicemail. You can't see who's busy.
So your phone system at the desktop level just vanishes.
It ceases to exist. And this isn't a bug, you know? It's a design necessary termination to protect the entire ecosystem.
Okay, so here's where it gets really strategic. If this migration is mandatory, we have to focus on the upside, right? This is an opportunity. You're moving from something vulnerable to a high-performance system.
Yeah.
What are the actual benefits of the native Windows soft phone?
Oh, it's a genuine upgrade across the board. You're moving from a web wrapper to a truly native application.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start where the old app failed. Security.
Which means we're getting away from that security debt you mentioned.
Exactly. The Windows soft phone is built natively for Windows. It uses modern security protocols, current encryption, secure authentication, and it's all updated constantly through the Windows Store.
Automatically.
So for any organization that needs to meet compliance standards, GDPR, IAPI, whatever it is, using a tool that is continuously updated and natively secure is, well, it's foundational. You go from running a security liability to running a security asset.
That makes the security part a no-brainer. Okay, let's talk performance. How does the user feel the difference between that bulky Electron wrapper and a native app?
The difference is substantial, especially if you have a large deployment. The Electron framework is just,
wow.
It's a memory hog. It has its own browser engine bundled in. We've all used apps that just feel heavy and laggy, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's often Electron eating up your system resources.
That's like that friend who keeps opening tabs in the background when you only need one page open.
Exactly. The native Windows soft phone, on the other hand, is much more efficient. It loads faster, it runs lighter, and it integrates properly with native Windows features like the notification center, dark mode, all that stuff.
And that all translates to?
Smoother call quality, quicker access to your call controls, less system lag. It leads directly to productivity gains. You get rid of those tiny daily frustrations that just drain an employee. Is efficiency over time.
So we have better security, seamless V20 compatibility, and a much better user experience.
Mm-hmm.
For the IT leader listening right now, the time for why is kind of over. We need the how.
Mm-hmm.
Let's map out that action plan to hit the deadline.
Okay, the key here is to treat this like a real project, not just a software update. So step one is assessing your current environment.
Yep.
You have to know exactly how many people are still using that old Electron app. Not just a license count. You need to know which departments, what OS versions they're on, and crucially, who relies most heavily on their desk phone.
And you have to check your 3CX system version at the same time, right?
Absolutely vital. If your organization isn't on V20 yet, that system upgrade has to be coordinated with the client migration. You can't do one without the other, or you'll have just a mess of configuration headaches. This whole assessment really dictates your timeline.
So once you know what you're dealing with, you move to planning. What does good deployment planning and communication look like?
Planning means a clear timeline with plenty of buffer. I'd suggest you aim to finish the rollout by, say, the end of Q3 2025. You really don't want to be doing this during the holiday season.
Good point.
Then you decide. Big bang, everyone at once. Or a phased rollout. Phased is almost always safer. You can start with a pilot group, maybe some non-critical users, and you work out the kinks.
And the communication part has to be super clear about why this is happening. You can't just send an email saying, update your app.
No, proactive communication is everything. It's how you manage user resistance. You have to explain that this is necessary to maintain their phone service. If they don't update, their phone stops working in January 2026. Frame it as a mandatory security and functionality upgrade. It reduces the panic later.
Okay, let's get into the weeds. Technical implementation. You mentioned users should get the app from the Microsoft Store. That can be a real headache for big companies, right?
Yeah.
Centralized deployment, group policy.
That is an excellent practical point, a real-world challenge. The reason 3CX points to the store is to simplify version management, to make sure you get those automatic security updates. But you're right, for an enterprise, telling every user to go to the store is cumbersome.
It can be a policy nightmare.
Precisely. So IT admins need to look at enterprise solutions from Microsoft for this. Things like Microsoft Intune or Configuration Manager, they can help you push store apps centrally. If that's not an option, you need a very clear, documented process for users to get and install it themselves. It's something you have to plan for.
Okay, so once it's deployed, what are the final steps before you can call it a success?
Testing and validation.
Yeah.
Step four, absolutely non-negotiable. You have to test the basics, making calls, receiving calls, transfers, voicemail, and then you have to verify your integrations, your CRM, Salesforce, your ticketing system.
Ah, the integrations. That's where things always break.
That's where they break first. And the most important part of this whole step is UAT.
User acceptance testing.
Exactly. For anyone unfamiliar, that means you grab people from different departments, sales, support, accounting, and you have them test the new soft phone in their actual real-world workflows. A technical test might show a call connects, but UAT will show you if the new app messes with the special headset software your sales team uses. Or if the new interface is confusing for a receptionist, it finds the workflow problems that no checklist ever will.
Okay, so what does this all mean? Even with a perfect four-step plan, what are the inevitable problems organizations should be ready for?
The biggest one is always user resistance and not enough training. People are just comfortable with what they know, even if it's buggy. They see a new app, and there's immediate pushback.
And how do you fight that skepticism beyond just saying it's a security requirement?
You counter it with a really solid support structure. This means training way before the cutover. Live virtual sessions, recorded videos they can watch anytime, maybe some short department-specific quick guides that show where the important buttons moved. You have to show them that the new tool is actually better and easier to use.
What about the technical gremlins that always pop up during a rollout?
Oh, you have to be ready for those. The technical compatibility issues. You might find weird problems with older versions of Windows or security software that blocks the app or complex network settings.
So what's the solution?
Proactive engagement with support. If you don't have the people internally, this is where a specialized managed service provider, an MSP, can be a lifesaver, especially one that knows both cybersecurity and VoIP. They can handle the whole migration, the configuration, the user training. They act as a buffer.
And that support is key when you're talking about the biggest challenge of all, which is business continuity.
Minimizing disruption is everything. You have to migrate in small, manageable groups. You schedule the heavy lifting during off hours, evenings, weekends. And most importantly, you have a contingency plan. You know exactly who to call. You have a web client ready as a fallback. And your most critical users' help desk, emergency response, get migrated and tested first with rapid response support on standby for them.
So if a company pulls this off, they get through 2025, they've done the migration, what's the long-term payoff?
Yeah.
Beyond just, you know, not falling off that January 2026 cliff.
The biggest payoff is future-proofing. You're moving to an actively developed, natively supported platform. This ends the cycle of crisis-driven upgrades. You won't face this again in a few years because the Windows soft phone will just keep getting updates, new features, security patches, all in line with the rest of the ecosystem.
So IT teams can move from just fighting fires to actual strategic planning.
That's it, exactly, from reactive to strategic. And the security benefits just keep compounding over time because the system's designed to adapt. As new threats emerge, the application gets patched. Your whole infrastructure becomes more resilient. For any organization handling sensitive data, that continuous security posture is a benefit you just can't put a price on.
This has been an absolutely essential deep dive, the date you cannot ignore. Mid to end, January 2026. The deadline is hard, the reason is non-negotiable, it's security and compatibility, and the solution is a genuine upgrade. Time to get planning.
And as organizations make this move and they get this modern, updated security architecture, there's still a continuous challenge. Given how fast cyber criminals evolve, how does an organization make sure that their new secure communication channel, the Windows soft phone, is truly protected from emerging threats, especially when it's handling sensitive customer or financial data? The app security is solved, but the overall defense strategy has to stay adaptive, vigilant, and comprehensive. That continuous vigilance, even after the migration, that's the key to real long-term operational security.